Hi, friends. This is actually a program that I did not know for sure that I would make, but I ended up thinking it might be a good idea. So this is Techniques of Integration Webinar Commentary number 18, and it concerns a tabulation on all the processes known as ACLRI. We call it that: Alignment, Crisis, Light, Revelation, Integration, for all the rays. And here, here it is. And I hope that it's not too small for you to read. What I did was to gather what I could from the text of what DK said about every phase of the process. I also have as well to refer to the seven techniques of integration. The old commentary sections of that. So I may refer to those. Now what I'd like to do is compare. I'd like to go across and then down the tabulation and see what we can learn from the contrast. The categories are, of course, alignment, crisis, light, revelation, integration, and the integrative word that seems to be the epitome for the entire ray integration process, but really is more related to the initial phases of it, or at least it is a means to an end. The type of alignment we are discussing with these techniques of integration is not the usual alignment which comes through meditation and discipline. It rather leads to, DK tells us, a continuity of consciousness within the aligned forms. And I've said here that and the experiences which precede alignment are also here. The soul always, it seems, speaks or in some way has a perspective or influences the integrating personality consciousness in its direction. The soul hints at, or there is a word that comes forth which gives a new perspective to the personality, and the personality attempts to follow that new perspective. Perhaps I should say that the disciple within the personality seeks to follow the new perspective indicated by the soul. And this following of that perspective seems to produce the later phases of the formula, which lead to, finally, to the integration of the personality with the soul. So I think reading across, I've pretty well done this in a way, you know, as I've gone through these programs. I have always paused to create some kind of summary or synthesis of the process. And you'll be able to find those after my commentary on each ray, pretty much so. But now I thought, well, what if we can put all these together and see them clearly side by side? This might be illuminating in some way. So when we're dealing with the first ray, in general, we have the integration of the personality into one functioning whole, and its one-pointed, selfish, and destructive use in pursuing personal ends, or at least the ends, yes, the ends of the rapidly integrating individual, produces eventually the alignment. We remember that in this formula, the soul has told the personality, stand up, press outward into life, achieve a goal. For you, there must be not a circle, but a line. Here it goes. The word goes forth from soul to form. Stand up, press outward into life, achieve a goal. For you, there must be not a circle, but a line. That is the indication that the alignment process has started. And whatever the first ray type carries on, even as an individual, is so one-pointed that the soul's powers will be used and at least appropriated by the personality. A line of connection is created, and always during that line of connection there can be a descent of soul energy which begins to clash with the way the individual is operating. These integration formulas are not exactly what I would say equal and symmetrical. There is always a destructive phase, the Tibetan says, and followed by a constructive phase, but often there is no exact symmetry in how they are portrayed. Sometimes the beginning phase, which is in a way rather destructive or negative, is carried on for quite a while, and only later in the stanza do we have some kind of reorientation. And in some of them, the reorientation seems to come quite rapidly. So it's difficult, in a way, to compare one of the stanzas to another. But anyway, there is a one-pointed attitude here. DK does not tell us exactly how the alignment comes about, but when you read, for you there must be not a circle but a line, you can pretty well get the sense of an alignment growing. Now, preceding the crisis for the first ray type is the one-pointed selfish destructive action. And this results in what I'm calling here a crisis of karmic retaliation. I want to say karmic retribution. The man is destroyed because he has destroyed. He has destroyed others. And he is brought to his senses, so to speak, by the destruction he undergoes. Of course, this takes place over a period of lives. And when he experiences this repercussion of his own destructive action, it leads to what DK calls an inner point of change, which leads to a few things here: an alternation of direction, a change of method, and a different attitude. Basically, it's the attempt to become sensitive, loving, inclusive. He stands, and from being a hardened individual who could force his way upon anyone and anything, he begins to seek sentiency, some degree of sensitivity to his environment, which he has not had. So he stands in the center as a soul in incarnation and loses sight of himself, seeking to be sensitive to others. This standing at the center and the seeking of sentiency and sensitivity admits the light of the approaching soul, because, as I've always said, along this line of connection between personality and soul, the soul influence can descend, and with it the light of the soul, which is what the individual experiences, the aspirant experiences in this the middle phase of this act of reprocess. And the first ray type is submitted to what's called the light which shocks. He sees all the destruction he has caused, all the pain that he has caused, especially now that he's recovering, or at least generating some sensitivity within himself. And he, in this light, he is undergoing a change of direction, and no longer strictly for himself. In this light, and he seeks to function under the influence of the light of the soul, and therefore to rebuild all that he has destroyed. And then DK talks about the various incarnations through which he passes, four incarnations, as we have discussed. There comes, for in the intensifying light, I want to, make the word light stronger. In the intensifying light comes at the latter phase of it, the revelation of how he must rebuild if he is to lift all those he has destroyed and lift humanity as a whole onto a higher turn of the spiral. And this is where the rebuilding incarnations come into play. So as he's carrying forward this process of rebuilding on different personality rays, we're not told what is the personality ray of the first incarnation, but perhaps it's the fourth. For the second, it's the third or seventh. For the third, it's the second ray. And for the fourth incarnation, it may be the first ray itself, balanced by soft line rays in the personality vehicles. So in carrying out the program of rebuilding, he achieves integration with the divine plan and at the same time with his soul. He, the individual, perhaps he's not yet standing within the causal body as the soul, but he's on his way as a soul in incarnation, and he achieves integration, his energy system, with the energy system of the soul. The soul in incarnation then becomes the effective instrument of the first ray soul, and the ray of the personality becomes a sub-ray of the first ray soul. And that's pretty much what happens at integration all along. The ray of the personality becomes the sub-ray of the soul ray. The integrative word is inclusion, and it represents the attitude that he must demonstrate if he is to reorient himself from strictly personal destructive expression, which is preventing his true integration with the soul. The soul is love on any ray, and if we are operating in the third aspect of divinity in a destructive manner, a separative manner, we are not approaching the soul. So if he maintains this inclusive attitude and seeks to express the will in love, then he will come closer to the soul. Retaliation. Okay. Well, so now I'm going across the second ray type. You see, the important thing is always in these integration formulas we see a certain condition which exists, which is a pre-integrative condition. The pre-integrative condition is pretty much ahamkarik here for the second ray. He's reborn again and again as a point within a circle. He has a certain ring pass knot. And although he has the tendency to be inclusive, he realizes that he is always himself. But this is antidoted by the love of love instead of the love of being love. The stage of alignment is preceded by a phase in which the aspirant loses his interest in all that is familiar. The soul has spoken. It has told the personality to release thyself from all that stands around. For it has naught for thee, so look to me. I am the one who builds, sustains, and draws thee on and up. But the call of the soul is not yet a familiar call. So this initial soul, so the aspirant is in an uncomfortable position between his loss of interest in the outer world and yet his inability to reach his own center. This initial soul influence, however, leads the aspirant to meditation or to inner reflection, and thus alignment is produced through meditation. That's how he says it happens here for the second ray, or I suppose through pondering on the value of all that one has been attached to compared to what one might be attached to. So alignment is produced through meditation in the attempt to achieve release, which the soul has advised, the soul heard as a voice has advised to do. Let's just say, and I had seen the place where this has occurred in the text, that we have a rapidly integrating personality to which the soul can apply this integration formula, and also a sense in the personality that there is, after all, perhaps a higher pairs of opposites, a higher of a pair of the pairs of opposites, and as a result, there will be a readiness at least to listen to this other voice which is coming in. So the meditation technique, especially using Raja Yoga, will produce an alignment. And there is, in all of this, eventually is produced an intense inner focusing and an alert mental detachment. These are the words of the Tibetan. A type of line or antiskarana is created between the soul in incarnation, who is the aspirant, and the central point. So already there is the tendency to begin detaching from all of the familiar tried and true attachments. The crisis of detachment arises, and it is a detachment from the periphery of life, and as DK says, tells us, a rapid movement towards the center, I suppose along the line that has been established. And this, it is a crisis characterized by lack of interest in all things familiar, and I might say, and a growing interest in the center, which many surrounding the aspirant do not understand. And so there are difficulties with those left behind and to whom the individual had been attached. Then we have the, in the phase of light, which presumably grows as there is an approach, as the crisis is handled rightly, and as there is a rapid movement towards the center, the light will increase. Just as if we move rapidly towards the sun, the light would increase. There are six phases of light, and that's more than in any other of the light phases for the other rays. The first is the light which reveals personal defects. I think there's always going to be a kind of a personal revelation of the limitations of the situation in the phase of light, but also light indicates the way ahead. The second stage is the light which shows the next step ahead. Then third, the light which reveals one's spiritual traveling companions, those who are on the same path and will be traveling with you. And then some higher expressions of light, the revelations of which could be said to phase into the actual phase of revelation. So there's the light which reveals the guardian angel, the light which reveals the angel of the presence, which is at rare and infrequent intervals, and then finally the light which reveals the master and his ashram. And so by the time these last three types of light experience are undergone, the phase of revelation has been entered, and we'll speak of that. The last stages of the phase of light merge into the stage of revelation, and with the revelation of the guardian angel, the angel of the presence, and the master, the divine plan too is realized, revealed, because these different higher sources are preoccupied with expressing the divine plan. And so when the disciple, well, aspirant, let us say, has contact and is seeing in the light these higher aspects of himself and higher beings, he is understanding too the divine plan with which they are preoccupied. And naturally, what one can do within that plan, functioning in a detached manner and at the center, is revealed. The stage of integration, called he calls it the integration as a result of revelation, comes about, and at this stage there comes the fusion of the personality ray and the soul ray. Now that's pretty much what happens in the fusion formulas as well, but if we're going to discriminate, he says something interesting about the fusion formulas, that they promote the emergence of the personality ray, not just the fusion with the soul ray, but the emergence of the personality ray as a sub-ray of the soul ray. So not just a resistant, a rebellious personality, but a special instrument coming forward. Rather interesting that fusion would cause that. And then the integrative word is centralization, which is the result of the detaching from the outer periphery and the rapid movement towards the soul center, which is in a way detached from all things formal and familiar. It can use them, of course, but it's not attracted to them. the attraction ends for form life, but into the worlds of form that love must someday fail to penetrate. We've seen that, right? So it's right here. The power to draw into oneself must dominate, but into the worlds of form that power must someday fail to penetrate. This is the first step towards a deeper search for one's true self. So nothing in the outer world is very interesting anymore, and something else which cannot be fully defined is rapidly drawing one to the center, and one will centralize oneself in soul life. That is how the integration will take place. Now, let's take a look at this next one. This is the Ray 3 formula, and the need for stillness and quietness at the center is suggested by the soul. Because the disciple is caught in his own glamour, the many, many energy threads are all tangled up and he cannot extricate himself. The soul sees this and suggests, why don't you just stop your activities, stop pulling on the threads, and let there be a period of enforced quiet. Well, as the disciple begins to listen to this inner voice, he realizes that his life is not as he would have it, and so he's advised to stand still, and he does, and this enforced quiet leads to the alignment. Because at last, rather than having to penetrate all the swirling thought forms, the soul can actually get through in the relative stillness. So alignment is created. Then in the stage of crisis, because the soul can approach along the line created through alignment, a crisis is created through the clash of soul energies with the energies of the individual, the aspirant. I think this happens along every ray line. The word clash is actually used appropriately in relation to the soul approach for the fourth ray, but really it is true. The ways of the soul are so different from the ways of the rather personally integrated personality, you know, the effective but non-spiritual personality. The first stage of the crisis can be called the crisis of futility for the third ray, as the uselessness of the aspirant's weavings are seen. All his comings and goings, his plans, his rushing from point to point, his great activity and instability resulting in a very confused state of living. D.K. talks about the achieving the quiet of living. Maybe I'll have to put this, the quietness of living is desired and helpful in achieving the necessary alignment. So the crisis of futility is the first thing to occur, and as much as he thought he had been very effective, so he begins to understand that he has not been effective. And the next phase is constructive. The second phase is the determination to stand as a spiritual being and cease from the useless weaving and constant activity. So he stands at the center, be still. I at the center am, look up along the line and not along the many lines which in the space of eons you have woven, these holy prisoner, be still, rush not from point to point, nor be deluded by the outer forms and that which disappears. Behind the forms the weaver stands, and silently he weaves. So he's still at the center, and this is going to produce, whenever there's stillness, the light of the soul can get through. That's the point. Light breaks in, D.K. says, as understanding, which is an aspect of the light. And in the light, the aspirant slowly begins to work with the plan as it is and not as he thinks it is. In the case of the third ray, it is the abundance of thought which covers reality, veils reality. His thoughts become a veil to that which is, and when he ceases from his activity, either in running about or actually in an overactive mind, the light of the soul can percolate into the consciousness, and the alignment is, of course, strengthened when that happens. And he now sees the planet as it is and the part that he can play. So the light shows him the plan as it is, and he begins to work with the plan in the light. And as he continues to work with it, the light intensifies. It leads to a revelation of the larger plan and the correct way that he can cooperate with that plan. And it's very straightforward, you know. There, this is the worker in a certain sense. I am the worker in the work, the one that is. So the more he works with the divine plan, as he does that, there comes about the phase of integration, both with the divine plan and within himself, that is, the integration of the personality with the soul. The method is stillness. With stillness, the light can break forth. He can see what he has been doing. He can extricate himself from it, however slowly and more rapidly later, and can, in a sense, reorient himself towards the soul. There almost always must be a repentance here, a reorientation towards the soul. Now we go on to the fourth ray, and it's in yellow. It's a little bit hard to see, I'm afraid. Okay, so the soul advises the personality to change its limited perspective. That's what the voice of the soul says, you know. Basically, change your point of view, because both sides are one, and there is no war, no difference, and no isolation. The warring forces seem to war from the point at which you stand, so move on apace, raise your vibration, and see truly with the unitive eye, and you will find something quite different. So the soul advises that the way must be changed. That's always the way it is at the beginning. The way that the aspirant has been operating has to be changed. The soul advises the personality to change its limited perspective, moving on from the place where only duality is seen. Soul impressions reveal the uselessness of the constant conflict and essentially tell the personality that it doesn't have to be this way. The realization of that which lies ahead of the individual and the human race as a whole, DK says, provides an adequate incentive to produce alignment, to pursue alignment. There's some sort of intuitive Buddhic vision here that's coming in via the soul, which encourages the personality to listen to that inner voice, the still, small voice. The alignment achieved, says DK, is a very special kind on the fourth ray. It's a very high type of alignment, not mystical alignment, not even occult alignment in terms of identification, but some sort of group alignment. And, of course, the group consciousness is very strong on the Buddhic plane. Maybe it's really the first plane where group consciousness is powerfully present. So when it comes to the crisis, the disciple must become aware of the alignment before a crisis appears. This is kind of interesting, because the alignment can exist and the disciple, the aspirant, not be aware. We have to realize that the fourth ray type is almost always in a state of crisis, but this is a different type of crisis, which precedes a real merging with the soul. It says the fourth ray crisis is evoked by right understanding. That's how DK describes it. And it consists of four stages. Not the six stages of the second ray, but still, well, the six stages of light of the second Reich. This is a fairly lengthy enumeration of stages of crisis, a sense of isolation and of being overwhelmed, quite distinct from the opposing forces, and a sense of weakness, of despairing, futility, no way that there is sufficient strength to overcome the crisis. But then, as the alignment strengthens, there is the determination by the aspirant to stand in the midst of his difficulty, and as it is said of St. Paul, having done all to stand. And then a sudden recognition of the warrior within, and a movement towards becoming that warrior. The outer soldier starts to become the inner warrior, or begins to approach that inner warrior and gain strength from it. And when this happens, when there is this drawing together of soul and personality and increasing identification as the inner warrior, there is a breaking forth of light, and it's called the light of victory. It shows how all the three factors may be victorious. It's a really triple win-win situation, win-win-win. All the three factors may move forward towards perfection. There is the man who is the aspirant, the disciple, and then there is the opposing force, the enemy, which can be considered maybe the dweller, and then there's the one of which the aspirant and the negativity are a part. So two merge with one. All three move on apace and move towards victory. And the light which breaks forth reveals the procedure for the harmonization of these three and their mutual victory. There comes then in the growing light, I can always say that of Revelation, because it comes in the growing light which not only sheds light upon the personal problem, but light upon the larger field. The revelation of the deep harmony and beauty underlying all. The revelation, the beauty, I don't know what I have Brahma there for, but beauty of the Lord shines forth, the hour is now. This is a great revelation of the underlying harmony regardless of the apparent conflict. So the final purpose of the race is revealed. The revelation, it is said, comes in three phases. It comes to the individual and regards an individual revelation. It comes in relation to the group and group formation, and it comes eventually to the entire human family as a whole. At the end of the age, whatever that age may be, I don't think it's the Aquarian age, it's some distant time. And D.K. tells us that this series of spiritual happenings and maybe or revelations within the individual and the group produces at last integration. So basically, integration is emerging with the ways of the soul. The soul is drawing near, the aspirant is drawing near to the soul, and there is the beginning of a coming together of their energy systems and a coordination of their energy systems, and there is this, the aspirant begins to take on the ways of the soul. The key word is steadfastness, in the midst of conflict, to hold this alignment with the inner warrior who will prevail. One stands steadfast, having done all to stand. One stands in the midst of conflict and asserts the proper central position and does not take sides. And then the light of victory due to the steadfastness will break forth. The light of victory shows the way ahead. There's also the light that simply reveals the very difficult conflicts. When it comes to the fifth ray, the soul speaking advises the aspirant that he is missing the major mystery of life and must detach himself from all that from form, if there is to be greater understanding of the mystery rather than just the many mysteries of form. So D.K. tells us that the use of this formula, which presumably involves detaching from thought from the preoccupation of form, does lead to an alignment with that unsuspected subtle factor which the fifth-ray skeptic had never suspected before. Following the formula, there is the detachment of thought from preoccupation with form. There supervenes with increasing soul awareness a crisis which is contains two lesser crises. The crisis of aridity, I've called it here. He talks about the aridness of this well-balanced life. It's not one of these frenzy crises. It's a crisis from having not enough motivation and excitement. It's the ending of the joy life and the ending of the life of desire. There's not much to motivate the individual or to bring him that vibrant sense of happiness. And then comes a crisis which leads in a positive direction, the crisis of choice, resulting in the detaching of the aspirant from the form life and the preparation for initiation. He detaches himself and moves towards that great expansion of consciousness called initiation, whatever that initiation may be for him. We remember the fifth ray has a lot to do with the third initiation. Then, with the approach of soul and personality together, that seems always to be the way, the light of the soul streams in. Streams in when the dual crisis is over and has been handled correctly. And the light comes from the soul, and the soul is increasingly understood. He looks out upon an inner world of light, divine, and all kinds of new indications arise concerning the reality of things. Not just the mystical perception of things, but their actual reality is revealed in the light of the fifth ray soul. And the intensified light leads to the revelation of the true relationship between the soul and personality, which is not the usual type of understanding which exists in occult groups, but is something higher altogether. It is a spiritual science. This relationship is understood in scientific and not in mystical terms. Reminds us of how the soul will be scientifically revealed in France with its fifth-ray soul. Finally, integration follows and is based upon the newly revealed understanding of the true relationship between the soul and its form, the personality. And the mind is used in a new way. Fifth ray is always connected with the mind. The mind is used as an integrating factor, uniting the one, who is the soul in the sense of unity, the form, and also to the mind itself. The mind can blend and fuse the form and life. Thou art the one, thou art the form, thou art the mind, know this. So a very high form of integration is achieved. You kind of see it here in the fifth ray formula at the end. The mind reveals the one, the mind can then infuse the form and life, and quite an integrative realization here. One is all these three things. One is every aspect of the Trinity, the one, the form, and the mind, and there is a oneness pervading all of this. It's as if the fifth ray begins to take on some of its first ray associations. All right, then we move to the sixth ray. And let's see. There are a number of similarities between these rays. The soul is advising the aspirant to dissociate himself from these highly motivating but superficial, let's call it this, highly motivating but superficial pursuits. And instead to stand at the center, just like the third ray has to stand in stillness. You know, there's always this running and rushing factor with the third ray and the sixth ray. To stand at the center of his own consciousness, refusing to run after all those attractive visions and allurements which have more to do with form than with reality. He has to divorce, that's one of the words used, divorce his consciousness from the thraldom of form, and to stand quiet at the center, and then an alignment will come. It's always with this standing at the center of one's consciousness, finding a true center, that there can be a communication of light from the soul, but also preceding that, a crisis with the approach of the soul and its clash with the energy system of the personality. So this peaceful standing still, inducing an alignment with the soul and its approach to the personality along the line created, creates the crisis. So what happens during this crisis is that the disciple is left destitute of incentive to go after the things he used to pursue, yet nothing more central, more spiritual, yet takes its place, takes the place of the spiritual incentives. The soul is not yet clearly in view, and this was pretty much the same as with the second ray. Also, given the way he was running around before, he feels quite the fool in his own eyes, and therefore he projects and thinks he feels quite the fool in the eyes of others as well. But the crisis will create, we are told, a complete readjustment of the self, capital S, to the lower self. There will be a reorientation, and the inner pursuit will follow. Now, standing at the center of his own consciousness and fixing his consciousness upon the soul, fixing his sight upon the soul, and ceasing his non-productive activity in pursuing non-productive goals, the light will break in. And if he faces his own futility and surrenders himself to his center, the soul, the light will reveal to him that which he needs to know. In the light, he learns to widen his point of view, to deepen his love, to become more inclusive, non-separative. He begins to honor many things that he rejected intolerantly before. The revelation comes, then, in the intensification of light, revealing the value of the many paths to truth. He rejected so many of these. In the light of revelation, he becomes tolerant of these many paths which lead to the center of life, which everyone shares, and he becomes divorced from his fixation on the only one method to get there, you know, the one way up church. I remember there was a Robert Duvall movie where he played the part of quite a fundamentalist preacher, you know, and who had established a church, and the church just had an arrow, and it said basically the one way up church. That was it. Only one way. And if we are attached always to the form, the method of pursuit, then we forget God who, forget not God who lies behind the vision. So there are these many useful paths, and he is revealed that there are so many ways to get to the same goal, and in this growing revelation comes the essential integration of the unit into the group. It can then take place. The aspirant identifies himself with the idealism of the hierarchy and with the devotion of the soul, which works with love at the manifestation of the plan. He also identifies with the devotion of the soul, and not personal devotion leading to fanaticism. No word is given, but the word dissociation or dissociate is repeated a number of times. I've also used the word restraint for that standing still at the center and not rushing forward, and divorcing himself. DK uses the word divorce with respect to the ideals and visions he has been pursuing. Okay, and then we move on to the seventh ray. We always begin, you know, when that word goes forth from soul to form, there may not be a complete a realization that it is the soul that's speaking, but something higher is speaking. And this higher type of speech grasps the attention. Maybe it's called the still small voice. It grasps the attention of the aspirant, so he does something different. And in doing something different, he allows the soul to he allows the soul to come nearer, and a line is created between him and the soul. And with the soul's approach comes the clash or the crisis, and with the crisis comes the evocation or the invocation of the light, which reveals not only the present condition, but the way to extricate oneself from that condition. And with the intensifying light comes the larger revelation of the larger context in which the disciple stands and can work according to the plan. And as he keeps doing so, he achieves the integration. It's really quite simple when you think of it. However, there are many subtleties in what Master D.K. says here. Well, anyway, Ray 7, the soul advises against preoccupation with the outer forms of work. Love not the work. Let love of God's eternal plan control your life, your mind, your hand, your eye. So you've been at this the wrong way. It's okay in the world, but if you want something higher, you have to change. So the outer forms of work are no longer to be preoccupying, and appreciation of the divine plan has to take its place. The seventh ray type works as a relating agent amidst all the building forces, and as he does so, attempting to fulfill what he imagines to be his duty, attending to his portion of the task or of the plan, as he understands it, alignment with the soul occurs. So as he attends to his work, because as he attends to his work, the soul is working through him, really. And with that presence of the soul, a growing line to the soul is created. The crisis, the crisis here is interesting. It comes through a tremendous inflow of power due to the alignment. D.K. emphasizes how very strong this ray energy is, a new and powerful ray. The crisis will be characterized differently depending upon the orientation of the personality. There's two kinds of crisis that can occur here. If the individual is very... well, let's say the egotistical, selfish, materially oriented personality focused on his own welfare and his own desires, will find the lower forces of the personality awakened and resulting in a furious war between himself, the aspirant, and the personality forces, because there has not been sufficient purification towards selflessness. And the alignment is, you know, this is a ray of alignment. Whenever you're speaking of alignment, creating a straight line between high and low, the seventh ray is involved here, getting straightened out, as it were, as D.K. tells us. So there's a big flow of force, and if we have an unprepared and selfish personality, we have a problem. Then the lower or subterranean forces will be aroused. But if the man is unselfish, he's able to retain this flow of energy within his consciousness and not let it just flow into an unprepared personality. Or perhaps if it does flow into the personality is not a selfish personality. He doesn't know what to do. It's dark. But he knows at least he must restrain himself and stand in the center in a rightly oriented manner. He must orient himself along the line from the soul and there suffer the dissonance between what is implied by the soul and his present darkness. He suffers and he waits suffering in his own darkness for the light to break forth. And this he does instead, he restrains himself from using all these powers flowing in some personal and worldly way in the lower three worlds. So he stands within his own self-consciousness as a soul in incarnation, waiting the revelation of the power that is present and awaiting a vision for the right use of power. Awaiting a vision for the right use of the descending power. And as he stands within this mystical pentagram, presumably in the influence of the soul, the light in the east rises upon his darkness. because he reaps the reward of right orientation and of, well, again, restraining himself from personal selfish magic. The light shows him his condition and what he must do, because always there is the question for the seventh ray type, how shall I work? Well, it's a legitimate question as long as one doesn't become extremely preoccupied by the work, but realizes that the work is a means to an end to serve God's eternal plan behind the work. So then the light in the east is rising upon his darkness, and as the light grows stronger and stronger, it really does very simply reveal the divine plan and his role within it. This is so important to the seventh ray type, because he wants to know exactly what to do, how to do it, where to do it, where to lay the emphasis, where to send his thought, where to use the powers that he has. I mean, if we look at this in the very beginning, we see that the seventh ray type wants to work. Where can, how can I fashion a form for God? Where can I send my thought, my power, the word that I can speak? I have all these abilities. He really wants to know exactly how to do it. So when the plan comes through to him with clarity, he is the one who will try more so than any of the other ray types to fulfill the plan with exactitude. And going on, and as he serves the revealed plan, he experiences integration with the plan and in his own dual nature. First, the divine plan is realized within his own nature, and it must be before he can serve in a larger way, and then later in a wider sense. And final integration of this type requires, DK talks about some very occult things, it requires the closing of the pentagram and the establishment of right order. And, well, first we have the imposition of the ritual of the soul, which can be expressed through the closed pentagram, not overwhelmed by all the negative forces. And later we have the imposition of the ritual of the master, and we can understand that as he fulfills the ritual of the soul and the ritual of the master, he will come into ever greater integration with the soul, with his angel of the presence. He will be the true agent or representative. I mean, with the merging of the energy systems of the personality and soul, the aspirant, the disciple, in the personality becomes the true agent of the soul, and later will merge and fuse with the soul completely and so achieve the third initiation by blending with the angel of the presence. Now this is going across. This is the going across, and perhaps talking about the Aclary method one step after another. What I would recommend is that you use this chart. You know, you can, I think what you can do, if I go down slowly at any point, you know, this will eventually be focused on Makara, but at any point you can create a snapshot of the video, and then it will be its own picture, and can perhaps read from what you have shot the various phases. Or you can simply pause the screen. I've had to write in a very small font to get all of this in, but it's also possible for you to increase the size of it if you wish. So I've gone through this slowly and have discussed it. And if I have the chance, I would like to go in a vertical manner and talk about the preceding stages of the voice of the soul in each case. I'd like to compare the crises to each other by moving in a vertical manner DK doesn't always give a name for the crisis. He may describe it fairly well. But the crisis depends on the manner in which the individual has lived up to this point. Because when the soul, when the individual begins to attend even a little bit to this still small voice, he does change his activity. That allows the soul to approach, or the soul energy to approach, and when the soul energy does approach, there's going to be difficulty because we have opposites coming together and we have not yet achieved the harmonization of the opposites. What I'd also like to do, if I can find the time, is talk about the different types of light which break forth for each of the ray types. The light that shocks is different from the revelatory light of the second ray, which is, well, it can be depressing at first, but rather more benign later. It's different from the light of understanding of the third ray type and of the light of victory. Every one of them is a little bit different and will be experienced by the soul ray type. And then this divine light is very strong. Look out upon an inner world of light divine for the luminous fifth ray, the most luminous of the ray lords. And then a certain different kind of light for the sixth ray. Again, he will see the way forward out of his crisis, and he will become devoted to the soul, who has its own type of devotion. And then the light, the mystical light, the light of the Shekinah, will show itself to the mystical, to the one who stands in the mystical pentagram. So, by comparing the different kinds of light, we can perhaps see what type of light has dawned upon us, and whether we can identify that type of light. Then what is the revelation? I'd like to go through that. I'm going through it a little bit right now, but this is just preliminary. The revelation of the larger plan and how to lift all, and the for the second ray, the last three phases of light are really a revelation in themselves, and revelation of the plan both for the third and the seventh ray, who are so particular about knowing when to do things and how to do them. And the revelation of the future of humanity, very interesting for the fourth ray type. And the revelation of the many paths to truth and so forth for the sixth ray, and the great revelation of the divine plan and all its particularity for the seventh ray. Then, of course, comes the final phase. I remember when we were teaching this in esoteric psychology courses, we found, well, many loops and feedback loops and ways in which this was not a strictly linear progressive process moving from one to the other, but ways in which one stage achieved would lead to a strengthening of the previous stage. We also understood that. So integration comes, the fusing of the energy systems of soul and personality, and also the merging of the soul ray and the personality ray. This is the climax, and also a climax in the state of fusion. There's not really so much difference between integration and fusion, except that fusion emphasizes a more complete integration, perhaps, and emphasizes the results, particularly in consciousness. So if we know our soul ray, we can begin to use the formulas and begin to use the integrative words, I would say. Well, I think this has. So I'll go back to where we were, and I'll say that, this is the this is the end of Techniques of Integration webinar commentaries 18, tabulation on all axillaries moving horizontally. Next, I would like to move vertically down the columns and compare the different types of alignments, yes, alignments, crises, types of light, types of revelation, and whether there are differences in the final integration. Well, I think none of us is truly and completely the completely integrated individual. This would just about mean the fourth initiation, the energy system of the soul completely integrated with that of the personality in a conscious manner, continuity of consciousness having been achieved, the consciousness of the soul having fused with that of the personality, so really one field of consciousness existing. I don't think we find ourselves there, but we can certainly find ourselves to be on the way in a particular place on that way, and then perhaps know what to do for our next step ahead. Anyway, on Makara, I will post this little chart once it's in its final form, and maybe you will, you know, find it to be useful. So I'll see whether I have time to go ahead and do these vertical discussion of the columns in the vertical sense. Okay, a little addendum this has been, and even pretty much an hour-long program. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.